We're going to go back to Ephesians 4, at least for today. And I just want to finish up on the body of Christ. Something that I can't get away from every time I sit down to think about something else. Now, if you want to hear something else or disagree with what we're preaching, that's okay. In a little while, I'll give you something else to disagree with. But like I told somebody this week, I'm always a blessing. I bless some people when I come, and I bless a lot of people when I go. So just walk in the blessing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We'll read this again. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's why he did this. Part of the purpose, not only for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we should no longer be infants or children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Just ask God to show you what you should be supplying in the body. What's your purpose? God never did anything without a purpose. God never made you without a purpose. God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for your individual life and for your corporate life. What are you supposed to be adding? And then ask yourself a question, am I? There's no independence in the body, it's an interdependence. We need one another. Say something with me, and you may think that I'm just having you boast of something. Say this, I am needed in the body of Christ. Say it again. Okay, this side say it, they beat you to it. And sometimes we look at that and say, well, you know, I'm just a pimple. No, you're not. Or I'm just this, or I'm just something else, or I just, you know, I've heard this so many times. I am just so thankful that God would accept me, you know what I used to be. Really? That's a great confession. You know what you're going to get from God? Hello. We want this body. God wants this body to be so built up that wherever you go, people recognize that you know God. And that you understand his plan and purpose and destiny for his body. I want to talk to you a little bit about maturity. The Bible says until we come to a mature person. Collectively, we're one body. Individually, we're many members. Collectively, we have a head. Who's the head? Christ. So collectively, the head runs the body. But he's commissioned us for the whole body to be in unity with the head. He's commissioned that the whole body functions with his headship. And if we're not connected to the head, we're not part of the body. there's this universalism going around that everybody's okay, everybody's going to heaven, everybody is this, everybody is that. Doesn't matter what you believe or who you believe in, that's a bunch of garbage, you don't believe it. There's one way. Still one way. It's Jesus Christ. And so what does he want from you? He wants you to be connected. The head is not immature. But the body grows up into the head as Christ possesses us through his Holy Spirit. God's plan is that his body looks like him, acts like him, functions as he functions. God's plan is that we are conformed to his image, not the image of the world and not the image of Satan. You cannot serve Satan and God at the same time. It doesn't work. Love the way you're shouting. And so we are to conform to Christ. Stephen mentioned Romans 12, 1 and 2. Beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. And be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stephen hit the nail right on the head. Did it go over your head or did you pick it up? We are spiritually new creations, but our mind has to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he wants to take that body, bring them together, and individually and corporately fill them with his Holy Spirit so we are a holy temple rising up to God to honor him. Now here's a problem. Through every generation in recent years, the church has become more focused about me than Jesus Christ. I want to be blessed. I want to be prosperous. I want to be comfortable. Without realizing you are blessed or God's a liar. The Bible says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whether or not you recognize it or not, you are prosperous. How much of this world has less than us? 99%. About 99%. We are so prosperous and blessed that people in government want to take it away. Isn't that amazing? If I was a millionaire, I don't know why I'd want to take it away from other people. Everybody that wants to take away our money are millionaires and they won't even jump on the same health insurance we got. I'm not being political, just being honest. Yeah, owe no man anything. Remember, as you pay your taxes, it's better to give than deceive, okay? We're blessed, we're prosperous. And I'm going to tell you something that may shock you and you may not like it, but you don't need to be comfortable. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Jesus said, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Being comfortable spiritually is a luxury we can't afford. Because we don't go do good when we're just sitting back with our feet up. Rest? Yes. Do you realize that today people are dying in the world for Jesus Christ? And the church in America is heading out for Kentucky Fried. Do we realize that 10 of the 11 original apostles, disciples, were martyred? Do we realize that when we stand for Christ now or later, there's going to be risk involved? So stand for him anyway. There are times we have to set things aside, mature, take our stance, and say whatever comes, happens. But we're like the three Hebrew children. We're not going to bow, we're not going to bend, and if we burn, we burn. Maturity is completely committed to Jesus Christ, no matter what it costs. Maturity is not having just a bless me time, bless me time, bless me time. It's reaching out to others. It's being led by the Spirit of God. It's walking with Jesus. And whatever you face, what would Jesus do in that situation? No, the question is no longer, am I willing to die for Jesus, but am I willing to live for him? Death will come one way or the other if the rapture doesn't happen. One way we're going to die. But am I being daily conformed to him, his image? Am I daily walking this life out? Am I daily following him? Or am I simply looking at myself and saying, I want everything I can get from God without giving anything back? God has a gift and a calling in you that only you can do. And the body only functions, as we'll see in a few moments, as everybody does what God has called us to do. And that's great. Because there's a lot of dysfunctional families in America where people don't feel involved and don't feel they want to be involved and they don't feel the excitement of being part of that family. You can be excited about knowing Jesus. You can be excited about his calling. As I went to Fargo on Friday and picked up Ray, before I picked up Ray, I met with Pastor Keith from Bemidji. It's a church that we work with. You know something? It's exciting to hear the things God's doing. It's exciting to hear what God is doing in Bemidji or New Mexico or wherever it might be, that the Spirit of God is bringing people together to form a nucleus of a body that cannot be destroyed. No matter what you see happening in the world, the kingdom of God will stand because people have taken a stand for Jesus. And you know something? What a blessing. I've learned to enjoy something, which is hard for me at times because I know deep within me God's called me to be a servant. But it's fun to watch you people do things. It's fun to hear God talking to you. It's fun to hear what God is saying. Because you know something? God speaks to you as much as he speaks to anybody. Just sometimes we don't hear what he's saying to us. You okay, Tony? Verse 14. that we be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plottings. How many of you have ever figured out that it would be nice to add something to what God has said or take something out? People do it all the time. There are people who have started denominations and cults because they didn't like something about heaven or hell or being saved or walking with the Lord or something, so they just take out what they don't like. Know what God has said. Everything written from the book of Acts and on is to the church. And God knew what he was doing. There's nothing in there written to sinners. And he's writing to us. And he's telling us how much he loves and how much he cares and what he wants to do and what he wants to have done in our lives. And it's up to us to take that, apply it, and walk it out. Paul was writing to the church about Gnosticism. Some of you don't even know what that means. I'm going to tell you. Gnosticism was a group of people who decided that Jesus could not come in the flesh because your flesh is totally evil. Therefore, it doesn't matter what you do in your body. It only matters what happens in your spirit. You can live any way you want in your body. And Paul's saying it's not so. And so Paul's concern was what that church would stay in relationship with Christ. Remember the words of Jesus? Many will come in the last day saying, "Didn't I prophesy in your name? And didn't I cast out demons? And didn't I do this? And didn't I do that?" And he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So Paul's now is writing, is saying, and in Colossians, he's saying, be careful that you're not deceived or taken captive by untrue philosophy. And so live your life according to what God is saying and what he's saying to us. What he's talking about, what he's doing, how he's speaking it. There's two extremes in the world, in the Christian church. One extreme is Arminianism, and the other extreme is Calvinism. Arminianism says, if you sin, you're lost. Calvinism says, you can sin and you can live your life like the devil and it doesn't matter, you can go to heaven. Both extremes are wrong. Be careful of the extreme doctrines that's taking you down a road that God doesn't go down. There's no insecurity in heaven. But there's no sin either. And so we walk this life following the word of God. We live this life according to what God has said, not what man has said. You need to have security. But you also need to be aware Jesus didn't die so you could co-inhabit your life with Satan. The Bible says he who sins is of the devil. You may not like it. What he's saying is he who practices sinning is of the devil. But yet the Bible says there's a security in Christ. Don't go to either extreme. Walk out your life in Jesus, for Jesus. That's where security is. And so we come to the place where Paul is saying, be careful what you're taught. Because 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, in the last days people are going to come and they have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. Embrace truth. Embrace the Word of God. Embrace what God is saying, not what man is saying. And don't look for cheap ways out so I can do what I want to do. Look for a life that glorifies Jesus. It's a great life. Do I live in insecurity? No, neither do you have to. But do I live a life of constant sinning? No. Don't have to. There's nothing that Satan has that I want. Amen? Amen. There's nothing he has. And so why should I give my life to please him and walk it out that way? Don't compromise truth to save somebody or think you're saving somebody. Truth is truth. It'll always be truth. It's never not truth. Okay. I'm sure you love me. Then he says, from whom the whole body, every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we're going to speak the truth in love. And then we're going to build the body together. As we told you last week, we all have one thing in common. He's Jesus. He's Jesus. If people don't have Jesus in common with us and all they have is religion, we have nothing in common with them but friendship. So we walk this out. We live our life as the body, every one fit together with Jesus Christ. That's why we pray for the ladies. Anybody get a big raise at work today, this week? Anybody still have a job? So when somebody in the body is blessed, the rest of the body rejoices with them. How many rejoice with Angie when she got a good job? Come on. How many rejoice this year when the farmers had good crops? We do that together. We function in that together. We live in that together. And that becomes the body functioning as the body. And then we go out of here and we go as individuals, but we have the same Lord, we have the same faith, we have the same Holy Spirit, and we're ministering to people outside us. That's what the body is. So what happened, Dave, when your knee got sore? How'd the body function?
Slower.
This one took over.
I better have took over.
See? That's why God gave wives.
Yeah.
So you can take over. But we understand. When I fell the other day and I hurt my wrist and my side and my knee, the body hurt. And so there are times the body of Christ hurts. But what's the rest of the body supposed to do? I told you so. No. The rest of the body joins, undergirds it, and holds it together through Jesus Christ. And you know what's happening? The body is growing in love. Now I close with this. God has in his body many different groups of people who still make up one body. We have termed them churches. These churches who preach the word of God and believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven are part of his body. And so we fellowship with them. We unite with them. We work with them. There may be some doctrinal differences. But if they love Jesus and are living for him, they're with us. And we're with them. We had some people here last night from a different group, but they're the same body. And so be embracive of people who come in here. Maybe not. Friday is a good day. People will be hopefully coming in here who don't come to this or attend this church. Embrace them. There are differences that don't make a difference, and there are differences that make a difference. Agree with what you can agree with. Embrace the person. Love them. Flow with them. And as you're out there, get some fellowship with other Christians. You can be a blessing to them. Because you have the Word of God in you. Share it. Amen?